The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program, as per usual. First, again, a programming note. If you want to see the live stream over at the trumpet.com website, you can reach that page at thetrumpet.com/live, thetrumpet.com/live. And as I mentioned yesterday, we've got the big, big, bold banner up at the top of the homepage there at thetrumpet.com. to take you right to the video, and then all that you do is hit play, and you've got the live stream at our very own website, just in case. And we've been happy to report that YouTube hasn't deleted any of our videos or sent out any kind of alert or disclaimer or whatever it is. So it's been a smooth running week, and the audience size, it looks like, continues to increase for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Well, President Trump, again, is calling on his supporters to protest peacefully. You hear of all these reports that danger is coming to America's cities, that there's going to be armed militias as we draw near to the inauguration next Wednesday. And I think some of that reporting has been overblown. We'll get to that in just a minute as well. But again, here's President Trump over and again. Every time people call on him, look, you've got to tone down your supporters. You've got to call on them to be peaceful. And he does it. He does it. And you know what's interesting, too, about this clip that we'll play for you, particularly given all of the impeachment craziness from yesterday, a total circus, so much hypocrisy on display, a double standard, if ever there was one. And more, you listen to the words of Donald Trump, and he sounds like one of the only leaders who's just speaking the truth. You have these unhinged, deranged Democrats that are just obsessed. And in some ways, yesterday, it seemed like they were even beginning to roll back some of the craziness, as if even they know They've gone over the cliff. You listen to Donald Trump, though, whether it's the speech the other day in Texas or the statement, the five-minute statement that he sends out last night, and he sounds like a leader. He's telling people, look, be calm. You have your First Amendment right. You can protest. Make sure that you do it peacefully. Here he is yesterday from that five-minute statement. There's just a one-minute excerpt here in this clip, clip 9.
I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America Great Again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you are attacking it. And you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it.
So that's the president yesterday saying that he would not, his administration would not tolerate any form of mob violence. He went on to say, just after that clip there ended, that over the last year, we've seen a lot of it. And of course, this is what the left refuses to listen to. Like I played for you yesterday, they cut right away from it. As soon as he begins to talk about mob violence from the left, and that has been far more dangerous and destructive over the past year than anything that happened last week. That's the truth. That is the truth. You look at what happened in American cities, and most of America just appalled at what happened last summer. And the fact that there was no one standing up and saying it needs to stop, except for this president. And this president, you'll remember, pleading with state governors, pleading with mayors, just give me the say-so. Give me the say-so and I'll bring in the troops. We'll bring in the National Guard. We'll put a stop to this. There was an interview yesterday, by the way, with Ted Wheeler. I think it was a local interview from Portland. He's the mayor of Portland. And basically it's a reporter that just said, hey, you know, we see what's happened in D.C. You've had riots here and protest. They've even gone into federal buildings. The protesters in Portland. And do you think maybe there's been a ripple effect? Do you think maybe that some of these rioters see what they can get away with in Portland and then they go on to bigger things? And I mean, he couldn't believe she was asking the question. He was offended. You're not saying I'm responsible. Oh, no, it can't be your fault. It's only Donald Trump's fault. It can't be his fault for allowing it to go on and on and on in Portland. It's still going on. And he's finally starting to talk tough, Ted Wheeler. Finally. Now that he thinks that Biden's in there, he's going to start a little bit of a crackdown, something that should have been done last summer. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it because they didn't want to do anything that just might possibly make this president look good, look strong, look authoritative, look like a courageous leader. So he gives this statement. He says, look, there shouldn't be any violence at all associated with our movement. And meanwhile, you've got all of these troops, and this hasn't been reported that much, but all of these troops amassing in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, 20,000 National Guardsmen in D.C. as we speak. They're all over the city. There's fences. There's temporary fences put up all over the city. And it's as if the city's in another COVID-19 lockdown, only this time with military all over the streets. And this is supposed to be ahead of the, or in anticipation of the inauguration, a virtual inauguration for Joe Biden. That's why we need all of these troops, all of these extreme actions. Airbnb is canceling all of its reservations in Washington, D.C. And the surrounding area ahead of the inauguration. You have the president himself. He's approved this emergency declaration in D.C. That goes through to January 24th, again, allowing the city to draw on FEMA funds and so on. They're anticipating a crisis. They're anticipating, I guess, a shootout, a right-wing uprising. Do you think that'll happen? Just think about it for a moment. Do you think that'll happen? Well, I suppose we'll see. And it's all based on this FBI bulletin, allegedly. And we don't know the contents of the bulletin. The essence of it has been covered by the media. The right wing is coming after you. The right wing is coming to the 50 state capitals in the United States. And that's what the mainstream media has been going on and on and on again. And you wonder just how accurate this coverage is. Can you trust the media? Can you trust the propaganda media? Jordan Schachtel, he writes at Substack. You'll notice some of the sources we're drawing on now. We're having to go deep into the internet just to find something of substance. But he makes the point in his piece that the FBI is exaggerating this threat. And that makes perfect sense, even just based upon the way they're going after people that went into the Capitol, even the nonviolent ones, the selfie takers. They're exaggerating this threat. And they're magnifying the violence that happened last week even as they diminished and downplayed it all summer long. And this is what so many Republican congressmen are furious about. Jim Jordan even noted this yesterday in his statement during the second impeachment sham. But this so-called armed uprising, apparently the chief organizer is this group called the Boogaloo Group, whatever that is, never heard of them. But they've got 30,000 followers on Facebook. It's organized, so to speak, in 25 states. And the FBI, they've got this evidence that the Boogaloos are organizing. This is isn't even a strictly pro-Trump group. They're more like, you know, those prepping for the end of the world. So we've got to be on the lookout now for these preppers. This is what Schachtel said at Substack. He said the FBI seems to be grossly exaggerating the capabilities of a fringe network of activists that does not have the capacity to mobilize significant numbers of people. Certainly, they do not present a threat of insurrection or anything close. In leaking these bulletins to the media, it appears that the Bureau is once again, after 4 years of Trump-Russia madness, engaged in unsavory activism and attempts to manufacture a political narrative. Surprise, surprise. Another political narrative. Well, they had one ready. It was ready even before the protests got moving last week. The narrative was ready. It was set. CNN was prepared to go with it. An armed insurrection. And now here's the FBI, for its part, saying there's more to come. There's more to come. It's going to spread over all the United States. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But some strange things indeed happening in and around Washington, D.C. And, of course, lots of things to play out here in the next few days from a prophetic standpoint, as you well know. Dave Rubin, he's a conservative commentator on Twitter. He's got about 1 million followers. I think he's got a popular podcast as well. He tweeted this out on Tuesday. He said, Trump is 8 days from being done, yet it feels like they're ramping up a coup on every front. The left, that is. Something feels very off about everything right now. So here's a mainstream commentator, a conservative commentator saying, this just doesn't add up. 20,000 troops on the streets of Washington, D.C. All of this reporting that there's more armed insurrections coming from Boogaloo of all groups. Something just feels off. Well, I should say it does. You might have heard from the top of the hour news yesterday, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State. He was supposed to make his final trip through Europe, and evidently that's been called off now because of European officials no longer willing to meet with a member of the Trump administration. Pretty amazing when you see what's happening. The affliction, so bitter. No help. No help for Israel. And, of course, all of this completely overshadowing the election fraud, the election steal that happened just a couple of months ago. We've been trying to find some news on this affidavit that was submitted to Congress on January 6th. That would be the same day of the Capitol Hill protest. And it's regarding this employee or former employee of Leonardo S.P.A., an Italian state-owned defense company, a company in Italy. Anyway, there's this signed affidavit saying that his company was involved in electronic vote switching during the presidential election on November 3rd. And news first broke of this, again, in a very tiny, tiny, tiny way. This woman named Maria Zach, she had a few interviews on alternate media, I guess the far, far edge of the internet, the dark web, as some would call it, I suppose. But she comes out and says, hey, we've got this affidavit. Hardly anyone cares. Nobody cares about covering it. And this is a story that's virtually been censored. There have been a few stories coming out saying that we've debunked this. We've totally debunked this. So there's not a lot of information, and we've been scouring the internet really all week just to try to find coverage about this. And there have been some stories that maybe don't directly relate, although this one with Leonardo is quite interesting. This company that she says was part of the scam. Several Leonardo employees were arrested in December for their alleged involvement in a computer hack of a company. And then just this week, Andrew Miller found this story last night. It comes from the Italian press, and it's about how that 10 or more managers of the Leonardo company are now under corruption investigations. This is from the Italian piece, or the Italian publication, ANSA.it. And it says here, 10 managers of Italian aerospace giant Leonardo have been placed under investigation on suspicion of corruption. This is a story that just broke yesterday. It says police have seized documents at Leonardo's headquarters in Rome and at its plant in Pomigliano d'Arco near Naples. Police said the probe was into money laundering, fiscal crimes, and private corruption. Some 14 individuals have been placed under investigation. So 14 are under investigation. And they're under investigation for money laundering, fiscal crimes, and private corruption. Now, Italy is rife with corruption, even at the very highest levels of government. This is a state where the government in Italy, and I'll come to that in just a second, it collapses, it seems, every year or two. But coming back to Leonardo, it says three companies are also implicated. Among the latter are Google Ireland and Google Payments. The latter are accused of enabling the transfer of the alleged proceeds of tax fraud and hampering the identification of their provenance. So this is happening even as this woman came out last week and said, look, Leonardo was involved in switching votes from Trump to Biden. They were involved in the glitch that shut everything down, the vote counting down in the wee hours of the night during that election. You'll remember. Trump's popularity had blown the algorithms, and so we had to do some recalculating, and that happened from one of the Leonardo satellites. And then here you hear this report of all of this corruption, potentially, at this very company. And all of this coincides with yet another government crisis in Italy, the leading coalition in Italy, suddenly just disintegrating. The timing, as I say, in all of this is quite interesting, and hopefully as we continue to keep our eye on it, there will be more coverage of it, because like I said, there's been a near total blackout of the story. It just isn't even covered. This comes at a time, conveniently enough, for big tech and the major media, the propaganda media, when you've got the Silicon Valley oligarchs just blotting things out, just censoring anything having to do with the election now. Anything with having to do with voter irregularities. Stop the steal. That's removed from Facebook. Can't even go there. Here's the Italian government in crisis. The former Italian Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi. He's the one that looks like he's going to be bailing out on the coalition. I mean, that's, for Italians, that's deep state right there. He's been in government for decades. This Renzi fellow, the other guy, I think his name is Conte, he's more of an academic. He hasn't been a lifelong politician, but he's the current prime minister, and these two had kind of a tenuous coalition set up because they come from different sides of the political spectrum. But here is the Italian government disintegrating this week. I forget where the quote was. It's somewhere here in my notes. It comes from Richard, this quote from Reuters. Well, it just talked about who was in control of the intelligence community in Italy. And for the life of me, I can't locate it in my notes. Maybe I didn't think to cut and paste it over. In any event, keep your eye on what's happening in Italy in the next several days. And even more broadly, there was this report, again, yesterday, released by Jovan Pulitzer. He testified during the Georgia hearings of all of that voter corruption. He was one of the he was the one that got up there and said, "Yeah, we're Dominion's being hacked even as we speak. It's that easy." And he confirmed the fact that Dominion had their machines plugged into the internet, which of course all of these election officials said going in, "Oh no, none of the machines. It's electronic now, but none of the machines are plugged into the internet." A total lie. It says here, this is from the BL, again, another relatively obscure source, because no one else cares. No one else cares what this academic, this scholar has to say. It says here, inventor and Stanford researcher Jovan Pulitzer on Tuesday released a report of evidence of foreign interference in the November election. Listen to this. "A copy of the foreign election interference for your review and sharing," Pulitzer wrote on social media. 65 foreign countries participated in attacking 7 key states and over 600 county polling locations. This is vetted and factual. That's what this Stanford academic says, this Stanford scholar. And yet you know how the media will react to this. They won't even look at it. They'll dismiss it. They'll say it's been debunked before they even read the report. It says, during a hearing on election integrity in front of the Georgia Senate in December, Pulitzer told Georgia lawmakers that he hacked into Dominion voting machines at a polling place. He confirmed that the Georgia runoff machines were connected to the internet. They were, in fact, connected. This just, oh, forget about mail-in ballots. Well, we know all about that. I played the OAN report yesterday. There was so much corruption top to bottom on this. And here we're talking about the vote switching that went on internationally. And he's, of course, really highlighting the CCP in China in particular. But 65 countries? It says in a 36-page report on foreign election interference, Pulitzer highlighted voting irregularities and election fraud in 8 states. And they're all the states that have been called into question in recent months. Here are some key findings of the report. Quote, "The Chinese systematically gained control over our election system, constituting a national security emergency." Another one, "The electronic voting machines were compromised and cannot be trusted to provide an accurate vote count." Another one, "To restore confidence, the failsafe of counting the paper ballots must be used to determine who won the election for president, senators, congressional representatives." And then it says, "Hand counts reported by the media are not really hand counts and easily subverted." So even the recounts, even the so-called audits, they had the same problems going into the audits that they had initially. And of course, President Trump was there pointing all of that out on social media before he was banned. Now he can't say anything. It says here, this article, "The researcher said that the Chinese Communist Party has leveraged financial, non-governmental, and foreign allies, including Venezuela, to acquire influence and control U.S. voting infrastructure in at least 28 states. So here is foreign meddling in our elections, the United States, something that the propaganda media were very interested in 4 years ago. Not now. Not now. This time around, it was perfect. Remember Chris Krebs? Perfect. Nothing wrong with it. It says Pulitzer provided evidence of the CCP financially controlling Dominion voting machines via New York-based UBS Securities, LLC, and evidence of the party controlling the testing for Smartmatic software operation on Dominion voting machines. It says, finally, "critical infrastructure control utilized as part of ongoing globalist socialist operation to subvert the will of the United States voters and install a China ally." And who can doubt that Joe Biden, China Joe, he is an ally. He is an ally of the CCP. There is no Hunter's laptop shows this. There are so many leads for a curious journalist. And yet, as I say, here we are just scouring the internet this week, trying to find out some news about Leonardo in Italy. How many will follow up on this report, released by this Stanford scholar on Tuesday? Not very many. Yesterday, speaking of election fraud, yesterday in Texas, you might have seen that this woman, again, this is on a lower level, but it's the same spirit. This woman, Raquel Rodriguez, she was arrested in Texas for voter fraud. She was running this underground ballot harvesting operation and getting paid for it by politicians. And it goes back to October when Project Veritas exposed her with this undercover operation. This woman's a registered Republican, but she says she'll sell votes to anybody who pays. And she pulled in, I think it was something like $55,000 for 5,000 votes that she manufactured. She probably does it by going out to nursing homes or wherever. But she gets paid, and then she goes and finds the votes. I mean, this is one woman in a small county in Texas that's responsible for putting local officials, in some cases state officials, into office. Because at a smaller election, I mean, 5,000 votes is a lot. And so Texas, they've actually got an attorney general that wants to uphold the law. She's arrested. How many other cases in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, how many other cases have you heard of where an AG, a state AG, has actually gone for someone? This is like chicken feed, really. This is small potatoes. And yet here is a woman that has impacted United States elections in the state of Texas. She just runs this scheme from her smartphone. And yet, we're told on the national level, it was perfect. Everything in Pennsylvania was just perfect. It wasn't. There was fraud from top to bottom. And that's why you see so much hysteria following the protests from last week. These are Democrats that just want to run out the clock. They are in their heart of hearts. They are hoping they can just make it through to January 20th without being exposed fully. They've been exposed without being fully exposed. And that's what's driving even the impeachment circus from yesterday. The impeachment sham. As several of the speakers pointed out, I think our favorite moment from yesterday's circus was when Louis Gohmert got up. He's the representative from the state of Texas. And he quoted Nancy Pelosi. This was the Nancy Pelosi statement from 2018 that he quoted, clip 7.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
That's from 2018. I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings everywhere. All over the country. Maybe there will be. She was right. She was right about that. In 2020, there were uprisings all over the country, and they were happy about that. AOC, remember she said, this is the way it should be. If you're uncomfortable, so be it. You better get used to being uncomfortable. We're going to take to the streets. Remember Maxine Waters? If you find Trump people, you get in their face. You cause a disturbance. They were stirring it up. They were inciting an insurrection. And that's what they want to put on Donald Trump now. They were, for years, they've been inciting an insurrection. They've been inciting civil war. And they pretty much got it last summer. Well, it wasn't even a civil war. It was one-sided. It was Black Lives Matter and Antifa burning down cities. And no resistance to it. No resistance. And in Washington, D.C., it was either just outright approval of that, or at least tacit approval. So here's Louie Gohmert on the House floor yesterday during the sham impeachment hearing, part two. And he's quoting, as you can see here, he's quoting from Nancy Pelosi, clip eight.
Here's a quote. I just don't even know why there aren't more uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be. Or, sadly, the domestic enemies of our voting system and honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in Congress of the United States.
So he quotes from Pelosi, and then Twitter, social media, just blows up because people are so stupid that they can't even see or understand that he's quoting. Immediately it blows up. Gohmert's calling for more uprisings. Gohmert's calling for insurrection. It's not just Yahoo's on social media. The Politico managing editor, he posted, quote, Louie Gohmert, I don't know why there aren't more uprisings all over the country. The political editor at Vox, I should say, Louie Gohmert on the House floor. I just don't even know why there aren't more, aren't uprisings all over the country. And maybe there will be. CNN analyst and former FBI special agent. She says profanity and then is Gohmert encouraging more uprisings? Did I hear that right? These are news reporters. These are propagandists in the media hearing what they want to hear. And of course, Gohmert's point was that you were calling for uprisings for years and you got them in 2020. So what is this about? Pretty amazing. Well, you talk about the world's fastest sham impeachment. As I said yesterday, no due process for the president. It's basically just a slim Democrat majority. And shame on those 10 Republicans for joining the mob. 232 to 197. And Mitch McConnell, as you heard at the top of the hour, he says there's no time to get into a Senate hearing over the whether or not he should be convicted or not. But what a joke. What a joke. Here's a California Representative Doug LaMalfa, his take on the impeachment yesterday, clip one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second annual impeachment show extravaganza brought to you by the censors and left-wing media, the fact-checked ministers of shutdown and big tech, and the Democrat Party. Today, the second annual impeachment of President Trump isn't really about actual words spoken out of rally. No. This is all about, Madam Speaker, the unbridled hatred of this president. You use any extreme language and any process to oppose the core of what he has really fought for. You hate him because he is pro-life, strongest ever. You hate him for fighting for the freedom of our religion to not be persecuted by unfair mandates and limitations on speech. You hate him for not subscribing and shackling us with the religion of climate change and one-sided Paris Accords. You hate him for Israel. You hate him for defending our borders. You hate him for letting families and small businesses keep what they earn, for trying to keep the agents of government off their back. You hate him for putting America first, which is what I thought we'd do when we swear the oath. No, this shabby show isn't about a threat to our republic. This is the impeachment and muting of at least half of the American people. This is shameful and abuse of a process.
I think he summed it up fairly well. It's about muting at least half the American people. Don Lemon on CNN last night said that if you voted for Trump, that you're siding with the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan. You're a Klansman. You're right in line with the Klan. Half of America. Well, I've got more clips. I don't have time to play them all. Let me just conclude with Eric Swalwell. He's the one who was compromised by Fang Fang, the Chinese spy, remember? And he's put on the impeachment. He's one of the managers of the impeachment process. This congressman, who should have been run out of Congress, in another era, he would have been run out of town for being compromised by a Chinese spy. And now he's given charge of the impeachment of the President of the United States. Here's what Swalwell said yesterday, clip two.
America has been attacked before, but not like this. On January 6th, Donald Trump incited thousands of radicalized terrorists to attack the Capitol to stop a transition of power. Let that sink in. Our president incited our citizens to attack our Capitol. America was not attacked in the past sense. This president has inspired future plots. America is still under attack, and that's why Donald Trump must be impeached.
Future plots. So, and then comes the FBI with their bulletin. Oh, there's armed uprisings planned all over the country. We need 20,000 guardsmen in D.C. alone. Some strange things happening in American cities, particularly the nation's capital. Later, here's Eric Swalwell on PBS, and listen to the comparison that he makes in this interview, clip three.
Well, Osama bin Laden did not enter U.S. soil on September 11, but it was widely acknowledged that he was responsible for inspiring the attack on our country. And the president, with his words, using the words fight, with the speakers that he assembled that day, who called for trial by combat and said we have to take names and kick ass, that is hate speech that inspired and radicalized people to storm the Capitol.
So he compares President Donald Trump to Osama bin Laden. And I'm sure most in America are sitting back watching their TVs or seeing that interview saying, yeah, that seems reasonable. Of course they're not saying that. Osama bin Laden? Have you lost your mind? Osama bin Laden? And notice, too, how he says that Osama bin Laden inspired the attacks. He wasn't on U.S. soil. He organized these attacks. And his minions were on U.S. soil. This was a plan. This was a plan that was in motion for years. You see how that they simultaneously exaggerate the so-called crimes of the president of their country, even as they downplay, they minimize, they diminish the atrocities of psychopaths, comparing the president of the United States to Osama bin Laden. Unbelievable. The world's fastest impeachment. Just a few hours, no debate really to speak of. No due process for the president, the one charged. A complete and total sham. No wonder so many Americans have just had enough with Washington. The swamp, it's so deep. How do you even cleanse it? How do you even get in there? You know, men and women of honesty and integrity. So much money, dirty money, circulating through that town. But as I say, some strange things happening as well, and a lot that we know will happen because of prophecy. But the sickness, as Isaiah 1 says, the sickness starts at the head, and you certainly see the head in Washington, D.C. But it runs from the head to the toe as well. It's all throughout the body. When we come back, we'll finish on a much more positive note, talking about the love of God. We've spent some time this past week, and I think last week too, on just following in the steps of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at some scriptures in the last part of this program, showing what exactly that means. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
As I said before the break, last week we spent some time on following the right example, specifically Jesus Christ, following in his steps, as the Apostle Peter wrote about in his first epistle. And what does that mean exactly, to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ? I'll start with a passage in John 13. This is the night of that final Passover, and Jesus Christ giving this precious instruction to his disciples. And he said, "Little children," verse 33, "yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say, a new commandment I give unto you." So here's a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love each other the way I love you. In other words, follow my example. Love each other the way I've loved each one of you. It says that you also love one another by this. Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Well, that sounds easy enough, I suppose, particularly when you look at the world's definition of love. It's just kind of an emotional feeling. Surely we can pull that off. This is how the world's going to know that you are my disciples. If you have this love, of course we know in God's church, we know that this is talking about God's love. This is talking about agape love. And what is God's love after all? What is God's definition of love? It's very different than what's in the world. Well, just continue reading for a moment. It says in verse 36, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Well, I'll do anything for you. Well, as you know, you can continue reading in verse 38, but right after he says, "I'll lay down my life for your sake," Jesus said, "Before this night is over, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times." Three times. Well, that had to prick his heart. And you know, by the time that night ended, Peter did exactly that. He denied Christ. He had just said he would lay down his life for Christ. And in three separate occasions, he denied him. Look at Philippians 2. We'll read here about the mind of Christ. You think about what Peter said there. Now, of course, this was before his conversion, so he didn't yet have the Spirit of God, the life of Christ, dwelling in him. But he was nevertheless a disciple of Christ. He had been following Christ for 3.5 years. And what he said there in verse 37 of John 13, it sounded pretty good. And you know, if you look at the life of Judas, he was another disciple. Some of the statements he made in the Gospels sounded pretty good. Judas was the treasurer. And you might remember the one account in John 12 where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with this precious ointment. And then Judas comes in and he says, "Well, why wasn't this precious, expensive ointment sold for 300 pence and then given to the poor? Why are you wasting this ointment on Jesus Christ's feet? We could give this to poor people. We could redistribute this wealth and help people." Judas, it says in John 12, said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So he had some nice sounding words in John 12, but in his heart, there was corruption and thievery. Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Jesus had perfect love. He loved those disciples. And he said to his disciples, "You love one another the way I have loved you. And if you do it that way, if you have that kind of love, then the whole world's going to know that you're my disciples." Well, this passage in Philippians 2, it talks about the level of sacrifice that Jesus went through for us. You talk about a love that is far beyond anything that we see in this world today. A willingness to lay down your life for your friends. A willingness to sacrifice even the way that he came from the Godhead as the Word, the God of the Old Testament. And he came in the flesh. Flesh and blood. Just like you and me, verse 7 says, "But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." The Revised Standard says that he emptied himself. He humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant. He took on the likeness of you and me. He was God, and then he became flesh and blood. Talk about emptying or impoverishing yourself. In John's Gospel, the love of God, my father says, imagine the God of Revelation 1. That's where he's described in all of his spiritual power and brilliance. Imagine the God of Revelation 1, whose face is like the sun in its full strength, deciding to become dust. And why? So God could have a family and give people the right and the privilege to be a son of God, so his family could extend his work out into the universe, which scientists say is still expanding. How do you describe a love like that? I mean, this is godly love. How do you describe that? It should cause us to shout for joy. This is the love of God. There's nothing like it in this world. Nothing to even compare to it. So when Jesus says to love one another as I have loved you, this is the kind of love that he's talking about. It says, look at the world and see what happens without God's love. Nothing but rebellion, chaos, and destruction. Do you see any of that in the world today? You see it everywhere. You see it all around. Rebellion, chaos, destruction. And here in Philippians 2, verse 8, it says this about Jesus Christ, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, even sacrificing all at the stake." That was the greatest act of love that man has ever known, to lay down his life for his friends, to be obedient to God unto death, to never compromise once with sin, to have perfect love. And as you can see from verse 5 in Philippians 2, this is the way God wants us to think. This is the love that God wants us to have. Sacrificial love. Service-oriented love. A love that puts others even ahead of self. In The Last Hour, the book my father wrote, it says, "Can you comprehend that incredible depth, loving others as Christ has loved you?" And he wants us to love God the way he loved God. He called this a new commandment because it's only possible to obey it with the Holy Spirit. It is taking the Holy Spirit into ourselves and then expressing the very love of God. This is giving and sacrificing for God and for each other as Christ did. That's the love that God wants to dwell in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God's Spirit. This is the love of God that Jesus spoke about in John 13. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It comes into our minds and hearts by the power of God's Spirit. Notice what Herbert Armstrong wrote. This is from The Missing Dimension in Sex. He said, a human can only really and truly love God with the very love which we first must receive from Him. So the love of God comes from God. It says, this is the spiritual divine love God gives. He gives us by the power of His Spirit. But we must first repent, it says. How do you acquire this love? Here's the formula. We must first repent, surrender unconditionally to live God's way, turn from our former contrary way, and truly believe in Christ, accepting Him as personal Savior. Another quote, this is Mystery of the Ages. It says, the very basic teaching, belief, and doctrine of God's church, therefore, is based on the righteousness of and the obedience to the law of God. That law is love, but it's not human love. It says human love cannot rise above the level of human self-centeredness. See, human love in and of itself is selfish. It's innately selfish. It cannot rise above the level of human self-centeredness. God's love transcends that. Notice what it says about God's love in 1 John 5. And verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. See, the more we obey God's commandments, it takes the spiritual dimension. It takes that spiritual component. It takes the Spirit of God, and we receive the Spirit after repentance and surrendering to God and, of course, going through baptism counseling and then the baptism itself and the laying on of hands. And then we receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit of love, the Spirit of repentance, the Spirit of obedience. And here in 1 John 5, it says that, you know, the more you obey God's commandments, the more you'll be filled with this love of God, this unselfish, outflowing concern for others. Verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Those commandments of God aren't grievous. They're not oppressive. They're not outdated. They really represent God's love. They spell out the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and that His commandments are not grievous. You see, they're not too hard. They're not too harsh. God's laws are holy. They're just. They're good. And God's love, dear listeners, is expressed when we obey the laws of God. There is no other way to express the love of God. You are not showing God's love if you're living in sin or if you're living in disobedience. You cannot show God's love. You cannot express God's love if you are lawless. But if you're eschewing evil, if you're shunning evil, if you're drawing near to God, if you're crying out to God in prayer, if you're praying for God to have mercy and to lead you to repentance, as Romans 2:4 says, well, then you can be filled with God's love. In chapter 2 of 1 John, it says in verse 3, and hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. See, we know God if we're keeping those commandments. Verse 4 says, he that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps the word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. If you're keeping the word, if you're observing the commandments, if you're obeying your God, the great God of this universe, then that love of God, the love that Jesus spoke about in John 13, that love is being perfected. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.